On the line with us right now is a very familiar voice to those of you who've been listening to WPHM for the past few years, the one and only Tom Sullivan. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Caleb. Glad to be here.
It's great.
Happy
it's,
Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well. Thanks for getting up early with us here on WPHM. And of course, Tom Sullivan's show is heard every afternoon on WPHM, and he is live now from 3 to 6 p.m. I do hear from time to time support here on callers on your show, but just want to let the listeners be aware that you are live and ready to take calls. So be sure to give Tom a call this afternoon when you hear him from 3 to 6 here on WPHM.
We've got a little, one of the little stings that we put in when we go to a commercial or come back out, and, he takes your calls live, not like most radio hosts. And I'm going, really? But anyway, yes, of course we take them live. So,
and you do such a great job interacting with the listeners. A couple things that, my takeaways from your show, and I've been listening to you for years since you've been on WSGW. I want to say it has been over 10 years since I've been listening to your show, first in Saginaw, now here in Port Huron. But first of all, you always seem to treat your callers with respect. Very rarely.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Once in a while. I'm a human being, Caleb. Once in a while, somebody, I don't know, I get up on the wrong side of the bed. Somebody said, I don't know. Sometimes I bark at people, but you usually will
let your callers finish their train of thought, even if they disagree with you. You hear them out, and that's refreshing.
Generally, I try.
Yeah. And the other thing is you're I want to say maybe the most prepared talk show host in the country. You usually have such a interesting list of just items, news stories from throughout the day that you're very prepared to talk about on your show. You never know exactly what you're going to bring up. And I always learn something new because you're always following all these different news sources.
Well, I'll give you a little radio theory that I have, and I've done this for a long time, is I figure that if people tune in and they go, I'm talking about something, and then, I don't know about this. I'm not so sure I'm interested in this. But they know that I'm going to change to something else as we go through the program and something else as we go later through the program.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get them to, if they do go to a music station, maybe they'll check back and see, now what's he talking about?
Yeah.
It is not going to be the same for 3 hours.
No, every hour is a different topic, usually, different conversation. I always enjoy hearing what you have to dig up, because you always have some interesting news tidbits to pass along on your show. And I always appreciate your take on the day's events as well. Speaking of that, some big news over the past weekend, and I'm sure you're going to be talking a lot about that today on your show coming up at 3 o'clock, is this unemployment debate and the recent executive order coming from the Trump administration. I mean, there's so many parts. Right. There's so many parts to this. Let's start with the payroll tax plan. First, you're a business owner. You know small business. What is a payroll tax, and is this really a benefit to either the employer or the employee at the end of the day by suspending it?
Well, I think most I think most people will look on their pay stubs and see FICA. And FICA is a payroll tax that funds Social Security. And then there will also be an amount on there for Medicare. And the whole thing adds up to 7.65% tax, a reduction on your take-home pay. So by eliminating the payroll tax, which President Obama did back in, 2009, 2010, somewhere around in there. It was temporary. And so people walk home with more in their paycheck. Their paycheck is larger by better than 7.5%. And the employer also has to match that amount, so they get a break. So they have more money for the business. Maybe hire somebody, buy more equipment. I don't know what they'll do with this, but they will. It's a win-win for both. The downside of this is it funds Social Security and Medicare.
Mm.
And it's already got a limited life. They're going to have to come up with something to fix that. Or they'll have to start reducing Social Security and Medicare benefits down the road.
And it's an election year, Tom. You can't talk about defunding those programs during an election year, can you?
Well, it's a very good point, because seniors vote. And if you're telling them, you're taking money out of the Social Security fund, that could affect me? It won't affect you today. That's the thing. It won't affect you. It'll affect the life of the Social Security and Medicare funds, which is a decade down the road. So if you want to get more money in people's pockets today, fast, that's the fastest way to do it. You don't have to send out checks. You don't have to get them lost in the mail. So that'll work. Now, here's the problem, is that presidents generally, they can't pass tax laws by themselves. I don't want this president. I don't want any president being able to do that. Because otherwise, some president down the road will just say, well, I think I'll raise taxes on you.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's constitutional, but I'm not a lawyer.
Well,
and I think what the strategy is the president said it as much. He answered one of the questions over the weekend is, are you going to be sued over this? And he says, well, who wants to sue me for giving people more money? So I think it's a strategy, but that's Donald Trump. He's a strategist, and that's what he's doing. He's betting that this will get more money in people's pockets, and the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, won't fight too hard.
So you're saying maybe the ultimate goal is to go back to the House of Reps and the Senate and maybe come up with maybe some more agreeable terms?
Hopefully. I think they will, but the Democrats don't want to give Donald Trump any kind of win whatsoever within 3 months of an election day. So that's what they're also calculating in all of it.
Yeah, and going back to your discussion about kind of the executive power and the executive branch versus the legislative branch and having to do with executive orders and that sort of thing. You're in New York, where you've seen a lot of these executive orders come from your state executive, your governor there, and we've seen our fair share of them here in Michigan, too.
I get an earful about your governor. I get a ton of calls from Michigan that not happy with the guy. I'm sure she's popular. I saw a survey recently where she was popular, but that may be Detroit. I'm not sure.
Well,
you know better than I do.
Well, most of the polling that we've seen actually still shows that she has some pretty favorable ratings. Look, there were some controversial things. There's some quick action on her part at the beginning of this. Then things perhaps got a little too much executive orders, a little too narrow on what you're allowed to do. And then I think things have since been relaxed. But look, Tom, I mean, we're sitting pretty good right now in Michigan. So are you in New York. But you have to think that some of these restrictions did work.
No, I saw the polling, too. And then I hear the callers from Michigan and Half Whitmer and all these other names that they've labeled on her, and the husband who wanted the boat taken out, all that stuff, is driving people crazy. But it's look at this whole thing we're going through is we never had to deal with it. So I'm glad to see Michigan's doing much, much better, and so are we. So now the question is, what about the rest of the country?
Yeah. And it just seems like, Michigan, New York, we're on the cutting edge of this, and we're now a lot better suited than even California, where you're originally from, Tom.
Yeah.
That's a scary situation over there.
It is. It's mostly in Los Angeles and the Central Valley, where a lot of the seasonal workers come in from Mexico. And they're bringing a lot of disease. It's a sad story, because a lot of them won't get tested. And if they feel sick, they won't say anything because they are so desperate for their paycheck.
When we talk about New York, and we're talking to Tom Sullivan right now, and if the voice sounds familiar, that's because you hear him every weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. here on WPHM. Tom, you've been working from home for, 4, 5 months now?
Since March 16th.
March.
So what's that? Yeah, coming up on 5 months.
Any tips, suggestions for other people who seem to be stuck working at home at the moment?
I'm not very, well, everybody has their own situation. I hate to say this, but I'm not alone. I think I've just developed new habits. My family's developed new habits. We're doing things differently. We're still very cautious, even though the numbers are down. We're still very cautious. I played it on Friday. There's an analyst from Blackstone, one of the big investment firms here in New York, talking about the fact that the second half of the year, a lot of companies are going to reassess their employment levels because they've been able to achieve what they wanted to achieve for business without as many people being in brick and mortar buildings. And so commercial properties may have a lot of vacancies, office buildings. It's going to be interesting to watch, but I have adjusted, Caleb. I really have adjusted to working from home. Last Wednesday, I didn't say anything. Last Wednesday, I hadn't had a haircut in 5 months. And I'm telling you, I started looking like my old college days, you know. So I went in to my guy who cuts my hair, and I was in the city last Wednesday. And it's quiet. Mm. It is quiet. The subway system and the trains that bring commuters into New York City are running at about 20% of what they did before. So there's still a lot of people that are not in New York City. I saw no tourists, none, and it's, I don't blame them.
No, I can't blame them either. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a different, it's not a ghost town. New York still has a lot of people, but you know, there's 5 to 6 million people that commute into Manhattan every day. So it's now about 1 million. So there's still a lot of people, but it's nothing like what it was before.
Talking of transportation, I know you fly a lot, Tom.
Yep.
When was the last time you were on a plane? And what's it going to take for you to get back on the plane? When do you think you'll feel comfortable to do that?
Not yet. My wife and I have been talking about it because we have some business we want to take care of out on the West Coast. And I saw an article, I sent it to her email the other day, written about how it really is probably safer than going to the grocery store. But the idea of some airlines are not separating, the middle seat is still for sale and people are sitting in it. So you're shoulder to shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But this doctor was talking about the fact that if you take an airline that does have the middle seat blocked and they're actually trying to keep some social distancing in that metal tube, that the air does get recirculated every 5 to 10 minutes. They go through HEPA filters. The little blower above your head, turn that thing on because if the virus is floating through the air, it'll blow it to the floor. The air goes from the front to the back in most commercial aircraft. So don't sit way in the back if you can help it. Nobody wants to anyway. And so he was giving this big, hey, it's not that bad. It's pretty safe to fly. And then he said, well, would you fly? He goes, not yet. And so I'm waiting. I guess I'm going to wait for the vaccine. I would like to go out to the West Coast, but I don't have to go.
Yeah.
So for people that have to go, the mask you must wear. All the airlines are requiring it. But I saw this doctor on a YouTube video, and he had these motorcycle glasses that were padded on the inside. That he says people forget about their eyes. They cover their nose and their mouth, but they forget about their eyes. And he said, put on some glasses or goggles or something like this. So he had motorcycle glasses. He looked geeky, but so glasses and mask. And that's about all you could do.
You brought up the M word, Tom. Why are masks so political right now? Well, I mean, you hear it from callers every day.
Oh, I see it. I see it in my travels. I don't understand it. I guess it's a little bit of you don't tell me what to do. You know, the obstinate attitude about things. Or who are you? I don't know you. How can you tell me what to do? I don't know. You know, Caleb, I think you may have heard me in the past. When I was in grad school, I went through grad school as a highway patrolman working at night chasing speeders and drunks. And it's like stopping speeders, stopping people doing, you know, 15, 20 over. And most of them go, okay, you got me. Let me sign my ticket. Thank you. But every once in a while, you know, you pig, what do you stop? Why don't you go find a real criminal? Then they yell at you and everything else. So, I mean, I think it's the same sort of people. They're just, they don't want to be told what to do by a complete stranger. They don't want to be penalized. I don't know if it's politics as much as it's just human condition of not wanting to do something. They're not comfortable. I understand that.
Yeah. But you say you wear, you wear one. I've heard you say that on your show and try
absolutely
to encourage other people absolutely to do the same. And yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but the large, heavy majority of us are doing that. We're trying to keep this thing. If you can keep it from spreading, it will die. It will do. It will magically go away if we all really work hard at trying to keep it from transmitting to somebody else.
And going back to our conversation about the economy, the quicker that happens and the quicker we can suppress it, the quicker we'll open back up and hopefully get the economy back roaring again.
You have to start there. And it needs to be. It's the hole in the boat theory. You know, you have to pay attention to the hole in the boat before you pay attention to anything else.
Tom Sullivan hosts the Tom Sullivan Show, heard here on WPHM, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6. He is live. He'll take your calls on the air. And I always love hearing you interact with some of our Port Huron listeners, Tom, and looking forward to hearing what you have to say on your show coming up this afternoon.
Thanks, Caleb.
Tom Sullivan joining us here on WPHM. It's 2 minutes before 9 o'clock now. You're on 1380.